We were discussing earlier the apparent nomination or renomination of Robert Gates to be defense secretary, having as a bit of international cover the economic crisis that is certainly at the top of Barack Obama's agenda as he takes office. As we open America's briefing book once again to take a look at issues that will be facing the president-elect, the economic crisis perhaps is accelerating the sense that China is of a higher priority, perhaps at this time than in any other transition between administrations. And here to talk about China's effect on global issues like the world economy, as well as the traditional issues we've always dealt with in dealing with the government of China, is Liz Economy, who's the Starr Senior Fellow and Director for Asia Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. Thanks for coming into the studio.
Thank you, John.
So Liz, it seems to me that the traditional U.S.-China bilateral issues, human rights, et cetera, are in some ways sidestepped by this tectonic shift that's taking place in the international global crisis, where China appears to be, on some level, bankrolling a lot of the borrowing that's being done to restore the health of the financial sector in the United States. How does that change the U.S.-China relationship as President Obama is inaugurated?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, certainly, you know, one of the issues that has been talked about over the past few years has been the extent to which the Chinese have become holders of U.S. debt. But I think beyond that, what we've seen that as China's economy has grown, it's, you know, achieved extraordinary economic success over the past, say, 5 to 7 years, that the range of issues in which China plays now has expanded dramatically. So, you know, certainly global finance and trade is one issue. But beyond that, China is a major player in issues like global climate change, obviously food and product safety issues, proliferation issues, and even looking to conflicts in Africa or Southeast Asia or Latin America now, wherever the U.S. traditionally has been, we now see China becoming more deeply engaged. So I think the message for President Obama is that, as you suggest, China is going to have to be a major focus of our foreign policy effort looking forward.
So does that mean that Taiwan and the human rights issue and some of the labor issues that have been talked about frequently over the last 20 years go away or are diminished in some way?
I don't think that the traditional issues are simply disappear. I think Taiwan is one where I think we've managed to achieve a certain level of stability. And in fact, I think domestic issues within Taiwan suggest sort of forward momentum in the Taiwan mainland relationship, which can only be positive for the U.S.-China bilateral relationship. But I think the issue of human rights, for example, is actually fairly fundamental to many of the issues that we want to address with China. Because, if you look across the spectrum of issues, whether you're talking about food and product safety or intellectual property rights or the environment, you're talking about issues of governance at the local level in China. And can China not only sign on to international agreements, but can they adhere to these agreements? And what we found is that because of the lack of transparency, because of the lack of official accountability and the rule of law, that China is not necessarily so good at pushing forward on some of these key issues. So issues like human rights, which rely on good governance in China, I think actually do still mean quite a bit in the relationship.
Well, that raises a really interesting point, and that is that on some level, the world economy is making a big bet that China's economic stability is matched by political stability inside. What is the scenario politically in China that could really reset the deck on all of this borrowing and the idea of the China engine making everything work out with its 10% growth, et cetera?
Right. Well, I think we're already seeing that the engine is beginning to stall. And there's probably nothing more frightening to the Chinese leadership than that. Because, of course, the legitimacy of the Chinese Communist Party has been premised primarily on this belief that they will continue to grow the economy and continue to provide, you know, a better and better livelihood for future generations of Chinese. But even before we precipitated the global financial crisis, China had already lost two-thirds of the value of its stock market. You were already starting to see factories slowing production, tens of thousands of people being laid off in China. Again, this is before we hit this global financial crisis.
Wow. Do you think the Chinese can continue to finance their extraordinary investments in defense spending in terms of upgrades of weapons and the maintenance of one of the largest armies in the world?
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that, you know, Chinese defense spending, by our own estimates, they don't provide a transparent defense budget, but by their own estimates, is only about a quarter of ours. So they still lag far behind the United States. But I don't see any indication that the slowdown in the Chinese economy is changing their priority on defense. I expect that that will continue because they place a high priority on national security.
Finally, let's dream a little bit here. What is the chance that the U.S. and China in a transformed relationship could actually use their mutual power in a 21st century global community and end something like the Korean conflict and finally get rid of the DMZ and actually make that whole thing go away?
Well, I think we've seen progress, for example, on that issue. Certainly, China's been willing to host the talks. But I think it's important to remember that the end goal for both China and the United States may not be exactly the same, meaning the United States would be happy to see the North Korean regime fall and a united Korea. China's not quite at that point. What it wants is stability. So I think until one of us changes our end state for that particular conflict, I'm not sure we're going to make much more progress.
We've made a lot of progress talking about U.S.-China relations. Thanks so much for coming in. Liz Economy is the Star Senior Fellow and Director for Asia Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. Thanks, Liz.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.